All right, we are on the air. So if you try the sentence, hello, Rafael Mahler. First try the sentence from Josh Bowman. Good to see you. All right, so first try the sentence from Josh Bowman was making the bracha on fruit trees now during the month of Iyar. So hello, Zevi. So ideally, you would want to make the bracha on the fruit trees as they're blossoming. When you see a fruit tree blossoming, not the fruits, just the blossoms. So you make the bracha, thanking Hashem for giving us fruit trees. But that's ideally made during Nisan, not during Iyar and on. However, it is discussed that even if it's not Nisan anymore and you see them blossoming, even the next month Iyar, as long as they're not fully developed fruits and still in the blossoming stage, so then you can make the bracha on them as well. If you're in doubt whether it's fully ripened, fully blossomed, so just say the bracha without Hashem's name. But only if you're certain that it's in the blossoming stages, then you should and could make the bracha on them. Hello, Nachum. Next Shaila sent in was by Ben Sion. He's not here yet. Shaila is, if someone did not sell their chametz, can they use their chametzik toothbrush? Can they use other things in their house that they didn't sell? So the answer is that the reason why you sell chametz is to sell chametz. Sometimes we just assume everything in our house is chametzik from the everything, including a toothbrush, but a toothbrush is not chametzik. Hello, Marty. Hello, Margie. A toothbrush is not chametzik. So if someone did not sell their toothbrush, that's fine. If someone did not sell corn, that's fine. Corn is not chametz. Even though us Ashkenazim do not eat the kidneys, that's not chametz. This is very relevant when you go to stores. Now when you go to a store and they did not sell their chametz, let's say it is a Goyish-owned store, they don't need to sell their chametz to themselves. But let's say it is a Jewish-owned store. So you have to find out who owns the stores, the supermarkets. A Jewish-owned store. Welcome back, Seagulls. So this is very relevant. Let's say you have a Jewish-owned store and they did not sell their chametz. So in Eretz Yisrael, most stores that are Jewish-owned, and they mostly are, do sell the chametz, they hang a sign up. But in America, there could be many stores that are owned by Jews. You need to find out who owns your stores. If it's owned by a Jew and he did not sell his chametz, so then all the chametz in that store you cannot buy until it recycles, until it's a new inventory, it's new chametz. You can find out when they get new things. But new bread, most likely, it's good already. But crackers, pretzels, cakes that have a longer shelf life, so then you need to find out if they were owned by the Jew during Pesach, you cannot buy those things. But corn, peanut butter, soaps, shampoos, etc., all these things that do not need to be sold because they're not chametz, so then you could buy them from anyone at any time. Okay, that was a wrap on that. Last shot I sent in was, are you allowed to use Meister money to pay for chavrusas to learn with you? Right? And this was sent in by someone here. I will not identify them. But let's say you want to get a good chavrusa. You can learn by yourself. You can learn with a equal level chavrusa. But you want to pay someone to learn with you, either because you like him, he's a higher level, you'll learn better. So we discussed in the Meister Shir that you are allowed to use Meister money to do mitzvahs. So now if you're obligated to do something like shachmanis, matan zev yonim, something you have an obligation to do, you can't use Meister money for it. But something which you're not obligated to do, like support Hatzalah. So support Hatzalah, you're not supporting a poor person, but you're helping, you're doing a mitzvah. You're helping people stay alive. So you're allowed to use Meister money for mitzvahs. So here also, learning Torah is a mitzvah, which you're obligated to do, but you could do by yourself. You want to do it on a higher level, on a better level, so you're enhancing the mitzvah. You are allowed to use Meister money for that. However, when I discussed this with the Rav, he recommended don't use all of it from Meister money. Let's just say you're paying $100. He recommended use 10 or 20 from non-Meister money. And then the rest, the bulk of it, could be used for Meister money. He had a reason behind that. But in general, the letter of the law would allow you to use Meister money for paying for chavrusas. Just a recommendation. It shouldn't be 100% Meister money. Okay, so those are some random shayla tangents. We'll get to tonight's main event, which is the halachas of Sfiras Omer and the days of the Omer. Hello, Dr. Langer. Okay, you missed the first three shaylas, but now we're getting to the main program. So here we go. The main program is like this. We're counting the Omer, Sfiras Omer. It's a major mistake people make that we're like counting towards this big event called the Omer. It's a mistake because the Omer already happened. Well, should have happened, right? When the Beis HaMikdash will be built, the Omer would have been brought on the second day of Pesach. So we are not counting towards the Omer. We are counting away from the Omer. So it's really funny that we're calling this Sfiras HaOmer when this has absolutely nothing to do with the Omer. That's a historical event. So why do we call it Sfiras Omer? What are we counting for? So we're counting to Shavuos. So let's call this Sfiras HaShavuos. Why is it called Sfiras HaOmer? What are we doing? So the Chinuch asks this question. The Chinuch says, really what we're doing is counting towards Kabbalah's HaTorah. We're so excited. We're counting towards accepting the Torah, Shavuos. We're counting towards the Kabbalah's HaTorah. However, if we were to count with that day in mind, the count should be 50 days, 49, 48, 47. The number is too big. And we would like give up hope. Oh, we're so excited for this day, but so far away. Right? If your kid is counting towards your birthday, or if you are a kid counting towards your birthday, and it's 50 days away, it's like, forget, you don't even start the count. Right? When did the count start? When you get a week away, 2 weeks away, 50 days away. So the Chinuch says, the count of 50 days, if we were to start 50, 49, 48, we wouldn't count. We would just give up. And therefore, we count up. 1, 2, 3, 4. Without even knowing, as if we don't even know how high we're going to get. But since we're counting up, it can't be a count up towards, and we count up from a special day. So the day of Sfiras Omer, the Omer was a special day. It was a carbon we brought in the Beis HaMikdash, which was brought from new grains. And it's a recognition that Hashem gives us our sustenance. He gives us our food, our grains. And therefore the count that we're doing is from a special day called the day of the Omer. But deep down, what we're really doing is counting towards the Omer, counting towards Kabbalah Satayra. So our excitement should be not about the Omer. Our excitement really is where we're heading to, and not to give up hope how far away it is. And that's just a translation of the words. So now let's get to the halachas. So Sfiras HaOmer, we are now counting towards Kabbalah Satayra. What are the halachas? So probably a lot of these you already know, but we'll just review some of them for perhaps some refresher. So first of all, you're supposed to count at night, standing up with a bracha, right? The ideal is tonight for everyone here is 18th day of the Omer. So the ideal is you make a bracha tonight, standing up, count the 18th day. Now let's say you miss counting by night. So then you count the next day without a bracha. So if anyone missed day number 7, they did not count at night, the 7th night. So the day of the 7th, don't say, today is the 7th day, without a bracha. And let's say you missed a complete day. Let's say the 7th day went by without counting it at all. So then, I'll get to that in a second, Josh. So then what happens? You continue counting, but you continue counting without a bracha. So let's just say the whole 7th day, by night and by day, went without you counting it. So you still should count the 8th day, the 9th day, the 10th day without a bracha. The reason behind it is it's a machlokas. If all 49 days are one unit, in which case you blew it, or every day is its own mitzvah. And therefore, even if you miss the 7th, the 8th is a standalone mitzvah, you should still count it. So therefore, just because you're not making a bracha doesn't mean you're not doing a mitzvah. All it means is we're not sure if you're doing the mitzvah. And therefore, we can't let you make a bracha on it, but you absolutely should still count just without a bracha. Hello, Abba Florence. So therefore, like this, if you know for sure that you missed day number 7, continue counting without a bracha. But let's say you don't know. I've gotten to Shiloh at least 4 or 5 times so far this year. I don't know if I counted the 7th day. It's now the 8th. It's now the 9th. I don't know if I counted the 7 day. So there we say continue counting with a bracha. Okay, so if you know for sure you missed day number 7 or 8 or 9, whatever day, so then continue counting without a bracha. If you do not know for sure that you missed, maybe you did, maybe you didn't, continue counting with a bracha. Now, Josh asks, what's considered day? What's considered night? So here's the way this goes. Ideally, you want to start counting from when 3 stars come out, says Achuchadim, when it's really nighttime. However, you definitely are Yotze counting from Shkia. From when sunset and on, you're definitely Yotze counting. And it's a minhag in many shuls to count like that. On Erev Shabbos, some shuls that make early Shabbos, not so relevant now, may count even a little bit earlier, which is fine. You're Yotze. Ideally, we want to count after dark, but you're definitely Yotze counting from sunset and on. And that's when the earliest time to count. Now, how long can you make the bracha? So if you are with Josh at his parties and the parties go until Amud HaShachar, dawn, so then you can still count with the bracha up until dawn, Amud HaShachar. From that point on, you should count, but without a bracha. So now from Amud HaShachar and on, so let's go back to the 7th day. So let's say you had a wild party the 7th night, and it's now 1 hour, 5 minutes before Amud HaShachar, you can count with a bracha. Let's say it's after Amud HaShachar, so count without a bracha. Now, how long can you count the 7th day? It's now 7th day in the morning. Count then. It's now the 7th day in the afternoon. Count then. It's now 7th day, sunset going into the 8th. It's now the time that you're allowed to count the 8th. However, you still could count the 7th. I got a call like that. In between the 7th and the 8th, someone called me. It was sunset, after sunset, between the 7th and the 8th. I didn't count the 7th. The answer is you can still count the 7th right then, because in between Shkia and 3 stars, it's Bein HaShemashos, it's a suffix, day or night. And therefore, it's still worth counting from the previous day. And therefore, at that moment, he counted the 7th, and 10 seconds later, he can count the 8th. Now, there are some other issues we'll discuss. It's not so real. If it comes up, let's talk about it. But the letter of the law will allow you to count the previous day's Sfira even during Bein HaShemashos, during the Suffolk time. Okay, but again, that's all b'di'evit. Ideally, count immediately during the night. Now, you do not need a minyan for counting. You count Sfira by yourself. However, it is recommended to do it with Maariv. That way, you have better chances of not forgetting. So ideally, you would want to count with Maariv, with your minyan. But if for whatever reason, that's not happening, so then you can count without a minyan, no problem. Now, for our Ashkenazi, for our Sephardi brethren, sorry, over here. Normally, how does it go with the women? Do women count? Do women not count? So, in general, the way it works is that when it comes to mitzvahs like these, women, Ashkenazi women, count with a bracha. They do mitzvahs with a bracha. Whereas Sephardi women do the mitzvahs, but they do them without a bracha. So, in many holy Sephardi homes, that the women will be doing the mitzvah or counting, sometimes the men will make the bracha and be motzi the women. Now, that may also be relevant for every man that may have missed a night, right? Let's say you missed the 7th night. You're still counting without a bracha. So, you still count without a bracha. If you missed the 7th completely, so you counted from 8 and on without a bracha, it's still a good idea to let someone else make the bracha, you hear it, and then continue counting. So, if you did not count by night, you count by day. If you count by day, you continue counting with a bracha, Josh. You'll continue counting with a bracha, no problem. But let's say you missed the full day and night, the full 24 hours of the 7th, you missed, continue counting without a bracha. But ideally, you would want to hear the bracha from someone else, just like the Sephardi women do, if they can. Definitely count without a bracha. And if you can hear the bracha of someone else, that would be the best. Okay, now, last point over here is, it's ideal not to say what day of the Omer is before you've actually counted, right? Let's say you're still in the game, you're still able to make your bracha, but if you counted without a bracha, you can't count again. Okay, so like tonight's the 18th. So if I didn't count yet, and I'm saying it's the 18th, so I can't count now with a bracha because I already counted. Therefore, it perhaps becomes famous. When someone asks you what day of the Omer it is and you haven't counted yet, you say yesterday was the 17th, and that way you can still count. Now, there are ways around it, but in general, that's become the accepted custom to not say, oh, tonight is the 18th if you haven't counted yet. Where this is super duper relevant is by Lag BaOmer. Once Shkia has come and it's time to count the Sphira, if you say, oh, tonight's Lag BaOmer, you just counted the Sphira. And therefore, you may not be able to make a bracha. And therefore, every night, you shouldn't say what night it is without counting first with a bracha. But specifically, Lag BaOmer, it's very common for you to come and say, oh, tonight's Lag BaOmer. Don't do that until you've already counted the Sphira with a bracha. Okay, so that is a wrap on the halachas of counting the Sphira. Now, what's interesting is there's a whole nother set of laws during the Omer that have nothing to do with Sphira Omer, right? The halachas of the Omer, like shaving and weddings, there's absolutely nothing to do with actual Sphira, right? As we discussed, the Sphira is a count towards Matan Torah, away from the Omer, the carbon Omer, the Beis HaMikdash. Now, these halachas of shaving and weddings has zero to do with that. That's completely different sugya, a different set of halachas in Shulchan Aruch. And this is because the Talmidim of Rabbi Kiva died during this period. 24,000 Talmidim died, the Gemara says, because they didn't have proper cover for each other. And therefore, as a show of Avelus, we also act and take on certain things of Avelus. Now, they died. Some say they died the whole Sphira, except for Lag BaOmer. Some say they died up until Lag BaOmer. But whatever it is, our custom is to treat the whole days of the Omer, all 49 days of the Omer, is a period of Avelus. We'll discuss soon. Some have the custom, this half, that half, we'll get to it. But in general, the whole period is understood to be a time of mourning. And because of that, we take on certain things. Now, what is it that we take on? So the letter of the law, which means the Shulchan Aruch only says two things. The Shulchan Aruch only says no weddings and no haircuts. That's the only thing the Shulchan Aruch says not to do during the days of the Omer. And therefore, that's only an awesome letter of the law. Now, first of all, engagements are fine. Cutting your fingernails are fine. The only thing the Shulchan Aruch says is no weddings and no cutting hair. Now, as far as wedding goes, Mishnah Berurah says, well, if weddings are aser, the real reason behind that is because dancing is aser. And therefore, that's our first extension. Not only are weddings aser, but dancing is aser. What's the idea? Because we don't want simcha. We want to avoid added simcha, and therefore dancing is aser. So it comes along the poskim and say, well, if dancing is aser, what's the real simcha? Doing the, you know, the old man shuffle is not a real big simcha unless there's music. Oh, so it must be music is really aser. And that's the chain of events. So Shulchan Aruch asered weddings. Mishnah Berurah explains because of the dancing, and the poskim explains because of the music. And therefore, music is aser, dancing is aser, weddings are aser during the days of the Omer. Now, comes along the question of, well, what's considered music? So is rap music? Is shweki music? Everyone has their own shitas of what's considered music and what's not considered music. Bottom line is, if there are musical instruments, it's music. If they're not musical instruments, the a cappella, so there's a debate. There's definitely room to be lenient. Because again, we're not talking about this deraisa. We're talking about an extension of different minhagim. And therefore, there's room to be lenient with a cappella music, even though it sounds really good. Room to be lenient, room to be machmer, but room to be lenient with a cappella. But any music with instruments, you should be machmer and not listen to it. Two aterim that are given are if you need to exercise, and for some reason you just can't exercise without music, so there's room to be lenient. Now, I would recommend trying it. Either trying not to exercise or exercising, but trying to exercise without music. Try it, see if it works. If it's not working, then you can rely on the Sata. Hello, Jay. So ideally, you want to not listen to any music. If you cannot exercise without music, so then you have a heter to exercise with music. The other heter is if you're going to go insane or so depressed or jump off the bridge, you don't listen to music, So listen to music. It's worth it. But so that's the idea of music. Now, when it comes to, the other hatter is parnasa. Let's say your job is a music teacher. So you can continue teaching kids. Now, are the kids allowed to learn? That's a whole different shaila. But if you're the teacher, you can teach. That's your parnasa. As far as the kids learning, if they don't enjoy it, so it's okay. If they really enjoy it and it's not for their parnasa, well, then they shouldn't be doing it. But as far as you, the teacher goes, you can teach music. Now, as far as shaving, in the shaving world, so does this apply to women? So if you know a woman that shaves their beard, they should probably continue shaving. But the idea is like this. The Isser is brought down, no shaving. It doesn't differentiate between men and women. However, women definitely should and could shave their legs, etc. As far as getting haircuts, so men do not get haircuts and men do not shave. Women should try to avoid haircuts if it's a severe need and women need to get a haircut for whatever reason. Now is the time that they need it. So there is room to be lenient with them as well. But as a rule, no haircuts, men, no shaving. Women, yes, shaving, but try to avoid haircuts. Now, a heter, which someone here asked for, but he's not here tonight, actually, asked, what about if he has skin irritation, eczema, and that if he doesn't shave, his skin gets irritated, and gets all red and dry, etc. So that's mutter to shave. If there is a need for refuah purposes, and we don't even refuah mean you're going to die, but there is a medicinal reason why you want to or need to shave, so that's also fine to shave. And the other half of the shave is for parnasa. Right? Let's say you have a job and you need to look presentable and your beard is straggly, ugly, not so gentlemanlike, and you feel that you can't go into the workplace with not shaving, so then you can shave. But you have to be honest with yourself. Are you shaving because you want to shave and you're going to say, oh, it's for parnasa? Or there's a real need. You really need to shave for your parnasa. There's a chance you may lose your job or business, so then you can shave. For dating, yes, Rafael, was that your question? I read.
The question is, yeah. What about dating and what about getting engaged?
Okay.
You about to shave?
Rafael, I'm going to stand by you soon. Here's where this goes.
You've got a clean shave, so it looks like it's Lamisa.
Alex has read.
No, so it's not a clean shave. It's a few days because I hold second half and I shaved on Sunday before I shaved.
Here we go. Alex is saying it's Lamaisa. Whether he's done it or not, we're not going to get there. But like this, if you think that there's a chance that the girl's not going to like you if you don't shave, you're allowed to shave. Now, I hope that the girl's marrying you not because you're clean shaven and not because you shaved during Sfira, and therefore she'll be okay with you for 33 days not shaving. That's my hope, and that we can discuss in dating classes, which I don't give, but the idea is that if there is a real chash that this girl is the best girl in the world, but she just can't look at me if I don't shave, you would be allowed to shave. As far as getting engaged, I don't know why. Like, she'll probably get engaged to you anyway. So what's the issue? The issue is the pictures. So by the wedding, you'll shave. Whatever. So like this, I'm not a big fan of shaving for dating or for pictures, as you see. But to be fair, if we're going to call it a loss, and there's going to be a loss, whether it's an emotional loss or a real loss, yes, mutter to shave. But if it's something that you really could get by without, I recommend not shaving. And perhaps you'll earn more respect by coming to your vart not clean shaven, because everyone else is also coming not clean shaven, like you're one of the team. But anyway, I'm not going to say it's usser. I'm going to say recommendation not to shave, but if need be is okay. Fine. That's as far as shaving. And Meshem, give me some good news soon. Now, as far as shechianus, right? So we discussed, we try to avoid making shechianus. Sorry. We try to avoid simcha. So this extended, as we already discussed, is extended from weddings to dancing to music. It also extended to try to avoid making shechianus, which means if you have a fancy new suit that you would normally make a shechianu on, or new fruit that you make shechianu on, try to avoid it during Sfira. If it's not avoidable, you need it. So try to wear it on Shabbos, to make the shechianu on Shabbos. Try. If for whatever reason you can't, you need the fruit now, it's gonna rot. You need to wear the clothing now, and you need it now. If you're getting engaged and you have to wear your fancy $4,000 suit that you make a shechiato on. So fine, wear it and make a shechiato. Now, most of us, most clothing, we don't make a shechiato on anyway, because it doesn't bring us much simcha. Are you allowed to wear new clothing that you're not making shechiato on? So here the letter law will allow it as well. It's not tremendous simcha. You're not making shechiato. Who cares that it's new? So really the letter law will allow it. For sure, for children, you can let it go. There are those that say, but at the end of the day, it's something new. Even though you're not happy enough to make a shechiano on it, it does bring an added simcha. Try to avoid it. So we'll put it like that. Try to avoid it. But if you want to or need to, then you can. Last thing.
Rabbi.
Yeah.
With a new suit, if you put, wait for Shabbos, so you allowed to say most people usually put on their suit Erev Shabbos. So you allowed to wait till Shabbos to make the bracha, or Erev Shabbos
great
is fine?
Great question. Great question. Right now, I'm saying in the ideal that we're not making shechiyanu during Sfira, and we're going to wait till Shabbos, so make it on Shabbos. But most people get dressed before Shabbos, right? Normally, it's not like you light the candles, oh, let me go get dressed, right? So therefore, you put your suit on an hour or two before Shabbos. That's the time to make the shechiyanu. So I would say like this. In the ideal world, you're not going to put it on until Shabbos. In the ideal world. If in your scenario where you really want to wear that suit now going into Shabbos, so the letter of law will allow you to wear it and make a shechiyanu. But it's still rare to make a shechiyanu on suits. If you buy a suit, $100, $200, $300, $400, that's not something to make a shechiyanu on. Because that's something which in today's day, we're able to do whenever we want, more or less. So therefore, it's ideal not to make shechiyanu on clothing like that. Only on extreme, I got a call from someone. He says he has not gotten a new suit in 4 years. And he's really excited he now has a new suit, so he can make shechiyanu. But if you get a suit once a year, once every 2 years, two suits a year, four suits a week, so that it's not really so exciting, you don't make a shechiyanu on that, ever. But if you are in the world of making shechiyanu, so then you should. Now, last point, which will touch into what Abba Florence just asked, which is like this. Should you buy new things? Can you buy new things? Okay, I'm not going to wear it, but I want to buy something new. I'm excited. I want to buy something. So here, the letter law will allow you to buy it. It will, because it's not shechiyanu and it's not dancing. However, there is a certain spirit of the week, spirit of the times, that we're trying to, you know, mourn a little bit over the loss of the Talmidim. That was a tremendous, can you imagine? 24,000 of the leaders were all dead during this time period. So there is a certain level of availus. Would you go ahead and start buying a new car, a new house, new furniture when there is this availus going on? Probably not. So even though the letter law will allow it, it's not recommended if you don't have to do it. And never try to push off all purchases. Now, I don't mean if you need socks or new underwear, go buy them. But we're talking about a purchase that, like, you know, brings a certain level of simcha, perhaps new patio furniture. So even though the letter law will allow it, by the time which may bring you simcha, so maybe put off, hold off on the buying. Okay, the last thing is, what is considered sphere? There's a first half, there's a second half, as Rafal said, I guess Rafal had to go through his date. Anyway, there's a first half, there's a second half. So how does that work? Really what it boils down to is there should be 33 days of avelus, because whatever reason, we want to get 33 days. So the first half is called from Pesach until Lag BaOmer. That's the first half. So some people are noheg the first half, which will allow them to shave from Lag BaOmer and on. What that means is during Lag BaOmer by day, some are lenient to shave even by night, the night going from 32 to 33, that night. The night of 33, some are lenient to shave. And my Rebbe said it's fine to shave by night, 33. That's the first half. And then they can shave from then on, or weddings from then on. The second half is what Rafal mentioned, which is from first day of Rosh Chodesh and on. No shaving or weddings from the first day of Rosh Chodesh and on. Then they keep the Svira until Gimel Sivan, the third day of Sivan. They can start shaving the third day of Sivan, those 3 days before Shavuos. The third custom is to shave and weddings on the 2 days of Rosh Chodesh, but then they keep the Svira all the way until Shavuos. No shaving all the way until Shavuos. Those are the three different customs. They're those that are makpid the whole time. Both halves. It's another added chumrah. Okay, so these are the four possibilities. First 33, Rosh Chodesh until Gimel Sivan. Second day of Iyar until Shavuos, or the whole time, except for Lag BaOmer. different customs. You can switch one year to the next. But again, the whole idea is this is a morning time. Pick a custom and keep it. All right, that is a wrap on Hilchos Pirkos Ayimeh. We'll do something now in Bitachon. We're still in Perek Dalet of Shai Bitachon. And as we've discussed, a lot of things seem to repeat themselves, but it's always another twist which may talk to you. And he keeps, obviously, he's very busy with Parnassa because that's what Shai Bitachon is all about. So he says that someone who has tools to make money, he has a certain strength, he has a certain ability or certain things that he could sell. So his job and obligation is to sell them, to do. Hashem gave him a certain ability. You should do it, but only in order to survive. Only in order to make the money that you need for food, not for the extras. He said, if you're going to go ahead and work and do more for the extras, so then you don't need to do that. Why? It'll either come to you without that, or even if you work extra, it's not going to come to you. Your obligation, your shtadlus, is to use the tools that you were given to make what you need, not to make excess. The excess Hashem may give it to you, whether you work or not. The chiv of ishtadlus is for the basics. After that, no chiv, and therefore don't do it. And it says, you're not gonna lose one penny. Hashem has already decided what you're gonna get. And that includes your chiv of ishtadlus for the basics. After that, no chiv of ishtadlus, and therefore don't do it, because you're wasting your time. You're either not gonna make an extra penny, or you're gonna make it without working. And that is how he views working for extras. Now, and what last mile we were discussing tefillah, this mile I want to shift it a little bit to do tehillim. I want to focus on different tehillims that we say either in davening or that we say very often. So we'll start with tehillim 121, kuf chaf aleph, which is perhaps said most often. Shir la malois esoyenai el heharim. So first I want to highlight, there was a shir la malos. There are 15 shir hamaloses from Tehillim 120 to 134. This is the only one that is shir la malos. So Rashi asked, why of the 15 is this one shir la malos and not shir hamalos like the other ones? So he says two answers. One answer is that this was the first one that the Levim would say as they were walking up the steps in the Beis Hamikdash. So shir la malos, this is the shir we would sing towards the steps as we're going up. So even though it's the second one in Tehillim, he says they're out of order. And really, this was the first one said. This one, 121, was said before 120. And therefore, shir la malos as they're ascending the steps. His second shot is, it's a hint to the future. La malos, soon there will be in the future for all tzaddikim, a mala, something which is an added, something special, waiting for tzaddikim. So this shir is a shir which is hinting to la future rewards that tzaddikim will get in the next world. And now, what are the rewards? And I'll continue with the tehillim. What's it saying? When you're in trouble, you look to the mountains. You look towards the mountains, where will you be saved? So people are looking for that cowboy, that hero, to come from over the mountains to save them. So the pasuk says, it's not just coming from the mountains. The help that you're going to get, the salvation will come from Hashem who created Shemayim V'aretz. Why? The Malbim explains. Why does it say Shemayim V'aretz? Because Hashem created Aretz, which is nature, and Shemayim, which is above nature. Miraculous things. Hashem, who created nature and who created the unnatural, everything, He will be your salvation. And he explains, when you get saved, and you will be saved, you have to realize it may look like it's natural. You may get saved from something special which looks natural, but you have to realize who saved you was Hashem, who created the Shemayim and the Aretz, who everything is from Hashem, natural, unnatural. You have to realize it wasn't just happenstance you got saved. It was from Hashem, the Savior, who created Shemayim and Aretz. I will pick up from there next week. And last thing, this week's Parsha, or Parshios, Tazria Mitzera, discusses a lot about Saras. There was an old Yid from Radin in Europe that told me around 22 years ago. He asked me, what's the connection between Shmini, last week's Parsha, and this week's Parsha? So he said, in Shmini, we're discussing all the foods that are kosher and not kosher. He said, in this week's Parsha, we're discussing Saras. You get Saras for speaking Lashon Hara. He said, the Torah is telling us The same way you're so careful with what you put into your mouth, you also have to be careful with what comes out of your mouth. So that's the juxtaposition, these two parshas. And I get so many questions on kashas. Is this kosher? This kosher? What happens? What happens? It's not, there are not so many questions on Lashon Hara, but perhaps there should be more. We probably speak more than we eat. In most of our cases, right, that's true, right? How much food goes in your mouth? How many words come out of your mouth, right? So therefore, he's trying to say, the same way we're so super duper careful with what comes in to your mouth, we should be super duper careful with what comes out of your mouth. I would just end off with that Lashon Hara is terrible. But the Gemara say and Mishnah say that the reward that Hashem gives for good things is much more than the punishment that Hashem gives for bad things. So the punishment for Lashon Hara is terrible. But imagine what great reward there will be for Lashon Tov, for saying good about someone, right? If you go give someone a compliment, you go tell someone how great they are, the schar for that should be exponentially more than the punishment for Lashon Hara, because Hashem always gives more reward than punishments. So yes, we should be busy focusing, not saying Lashon Hara, but perhaps it's also important to focus on saying Lashon Tov, on saying good things. Now, to compliment someone else in front of someone else is a shaila, because you may make them jealous, they may fight you, but for sure to the person, to say to the person, you are great, give compliments, that is a wonderful thing. We'll end with that. Next week, I want to discuss Chadash and Yashan. New grains, old grains, how it's relevant. And mention that'll be next week. Have a wonderful Shabbos.